out to participate in an exciting verse-by-verse Bible study. This program offers an exegetical, historical-grammatical approach to the Bible. Our host, pastor-teacher Bob Utley, tries to corroborate his teachings from five areas: word studies from the original languages, grammatical construction, context, parallel passages, or historical and cultural insights. This is one of the several series that Bob teaches weekly. Get your Bible and let's begin our prayerful study of today's lesson.
Hello, we're going to be concluding the book of 2 Corinthians today. I hope you've enjoyed this book. I think it's one of the most exciting books in the New Testament. It's so very seldom covered because everybody gets so tired going through 1 Corinthians. This may be an unusual place to mention it here at the last, but I want to share with you a book that has really been helpful to me. This is a book by Riddlebaugh. It's called Paul, An Outline of His Theology. And it is extremely indexed in the back, and this has been so helpful. When I go through Paul, I look, first of all, I do word studies and go through commentaries, and then a systematic theology kind of pulls it back all together for me. Riddlebaugh, I don't agree with all that he says, but he is so helpful in putting Paul together. If you love to study Paul, this is a book that you'll want to have in your library, The Theology, The Outline of Paul's Theology by Riddlebaugh. Now let's begin then in verse 1. Remember, we're in a literary context, chapters 10 through 13, is Paul defending himself because the false teachers have made his person the object of attack to ridicule the gospel, and Paul has defended himself by describing or delineating his outward advantages, his birth, his sufferings, his ministry, and on and on. He's been very uncomfortable through this passage. Now, this is my third visit to you. There's been a lot of fight over that. Some have said, well, Acts only records two visits. It is obvious that Acts is not a detailed, complete history. It's a theological history for a theological purpose. And so what we have here is a visit we don't have. Like there may be a letter we don't have to Corinth. We just can't be dogmatic on that. But the text itself says a third visit. And so whether we can document it or not, it's obvious that's what we're talking about. Any charge preferred must be sustained by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Now, this goes back to the Old Testament, specifically Deuteronomy 19:15, where it calls for two witnesses to confirm a matter. And Paul says three is even better. And this is because Paul is coming and he says, I want everything to be in order. I don't want to come ugly. I want to come positively. But I want you to know, if y'all don't have your act together, I'm coming to set things straight. And I'm going to judge the obvious offender. Now, remember, these people had grown up in pagan society where in the name of their gods they had become drunk and had sexual orgies, all in the name of the gods. And Paul has admonished them to leave that and to move on to the fullness and the freedom of Christ. And some had and some hadn't in this church. And Paul says, those who hadn't, I'm going to judge them. And I'm going to use two or three witnesses, but I'm going to take action, which is a sign of my apostolic authority. And he says, I hope I don't have to, but if I do, I want you to know that's what's going to happen. I have already warned you, those who formerly committed shocking sins and all the rest, that though far away, I warn you now, as I did on my second visit, that if I come back, I will not spare them. Now, this if is a third class conditional, but it's translated as when. It's not so much if as when I come back. And that same usage of when is found in John 16:7 and 1 John 3:2. And so you might want to see that here. Now, this is talking about church discipline. And notice that church discipline has two basic purposes. Number one is the cleansing of the church. But number two is the redemption of the individual. We must remember that God's judgment is primarily redemptive in purpose. And here Paul is certainly that way. Church discipline must be redemptive. There must be a willingness to forgive the offending party and bring them back into the fellowship. But there must also, that's what we've lacked in our day, there must also be a heartfelt concern for the reputation of the church among unbelievers. Now, verse 3. Since you demand a proof. Now, this word proof is going to be a play through here that you cannot catch in English. This word proof is going to set the stage for verses 5, 6, and 7 that use the word for test. Now, in Greek, there are two words for test. Both of them are used in this context. Both of them are found in verse 4, I believe. No, excuse me, verse 5. The word here, prove, is a metallurgy term, and it means to test ore, to separate the dross, to burn off the impurities. So what we have is a pure metal. Now, it's used in the Christian life, and it's used for men, it's used for God. It means to test, and the connotation is with a view toward approval. There's another word for test that's used in verse 5, which comes to the same background, metallurgy, but is used with the connotation of to test with a view toward failure. It's often used of the devil, never for God, sometimes of men. And so that's the kind of two words we're going to have a play on them, and I'll show you when we get there, because it's very important. You might think it's falling from grace, but it's really not. It's this test of living the Christian life as being spoken of. Now, notice where it says, a proof that Christ is speaking through me. Remember, Paul is still in the context where he has to defend his apostolic authority. This church should have known who he was by the signs that accompanied ministry, by the growth of the church, but they did not. They listened to these false teachers, and Paul has had to defend himself all the way through. Now, notice, if you would, where it says, for Christ is not exhibiting weakness toward you, but power in you. You yourself are the proof of who I am. What's happened to you? How your lives have been changed. The church has been formed. For although he was crucified in weakness, yet by the power of God he lives on. Now here's this dichotomy between what looked like failure, looked like weakness, was really God's way of bringing redemption. Paul says, I know that I'm sick. I know that I'm not a good.